chapter 2.
Excuse me. As we work our way through the book, Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 19 to 24 today. Verses 19 to 24, Philippians chapter 2. It says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly." Let's open with prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for the truth of this passage, Lord, where we can look at another life. Father, another life that has a mindset of Christ, what you have commanded us in chapter 2, verse 5. Father, I praise you that you've given us examples. You haven't just given this lofty command, but Father, you've given us examples, and we thank you so much that we can relate to these examples. Thank you, Father, for how you have blessed us so tremendously. Lord, help us to desire to be your servants. Help us to desire to serve you from our heart. Father, to lay aside our own preferences and to look to you and to uplift others and encourage others. Thank you for your love. In Christ's name, amen. In the book of Philippians, what we know is that Paul wrote the book. He wrote it to a church that was a very important city, Roman colony, had a lot of privileges to be a citizen of Philippi. But he wrote it to that church because there was some issues going on, some preference issues. Just preferences, not doctrinal. We know it's not a doctrinal problems that he's dealing with. But they're preferences that were dividing the church, that were dividing the people. So Paul expresses his thankfulness to them. Remember, Paul is the one who started the church. He went and Lydia was the first convert there in Philippi, and he started the church there. And it wasn't a rich church. In fact, it was a poor church, but yet they gave him so often. They gave him funds. They sent Epaphroditus to help him. And in fact, we're going to talk about him a little next week. But Paul was very thankful for them as a congregation. And if you remember back in verse 6, Paul's confidence wasn't in them, it was in God. That God was working through them and that God was working in them. So his confidence was in God, but he was praying for them that their love would abound more and more. More remember the river we use as an example, the love, the flowing love coming from God and going through them and to others, but abounding in the banks, within the banks of true doctrine and of discernment, how to present that love to others. But that was his prayer for them. But then he talked about his joy and suffering and then his admonitions. What he wanted them to recognize, just part of it anyway. We're going to see more as we go on. But then he talked about the conduct worthy of the gospel. One of his admonitions was to live worthy of the gospel of Christ and to have the mindset of Christ. He says that in chapter 2, verse 5, to have that mindset. And then he shows what it is, his Christ's deity and his humanity, his incarnation, but then his humility. The mindset of being humble, taking that humility on, but then also his exaltation. After that, we saw that. But living out that mindset of humility, living that out. So we saw the example of Christ in living that out, but we also saw that example last week in Paul's life, his example of that mindset in suffering. And the fact that he saw his life as being a minor sacrifice to their major sacrifice of faith, his life being poured out as a drink offering and their life being the main sacrifice, their faith. So we saw that finding joy in every circumstance. We looked at that. So now we're going to go from there, and we're going to look at some of the people that are helping Paul. And we're going to look at the mindset of Timothy, actually. What we want to see first is Paul's intentions, or his heart, Paul's heart here. Look at verse 19. It says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. I hope in the Lord Jesus, my hope." And when he says, "I hope," that's a very strong desire. That word, literally, is a very strong desire. It's a deep longing. He has this deep longing, but it's based on Christ. It's based on God's will, not on his. Yes, he wants to do it, and yes, it is his desire, and it is, you might say, even say, it is his will. But it's based on God to begin with. He says, "I hope in the Lord," based on the Master, his Master. In the Lord, or in his will. Because remember what he said in chapter 1, verse 21. To live Christ. There it is. There's his life. To live Christ. And because of that, the things that he did, what poured out of his life, was based on what God wanted, what Christ did in his life. And that was his strong desire. He says, "Look, I'm desiring this in the Lord. I'm desiring this because I believe this is what God desires. This is how Christ would move in my life." He knew this would help them to send Timothy, because Timothy would love them and admonish them just the same as he was. And he said, "I want to do it shortly, immediately," because he wanted to take care of these preference issues going on. But there was a bigger reason. Look what it says. He says, "so that I may be encouraged," or "in order that," that's that henna clause in their original. That means, I want to do this, or want this to happen, in order that this might happen. And what it is that he would be encouraged. This is a big purpose for him, that he would be encouraged because they would be following what he's talking about. That he would be encouraged is in what's called the subjunctive mode. It's a possibility, a probability. So Paul here has confidence in God, according to verse 6 of 1, has confidence in God that he is going to work through these preference issues to resolve the conflicts going on. And we learn some about those conflicts when we'll get to chapter 4. But it's those things. And Paul is sending this letter. And what we're going to learn is that he's sending Epaphroditus with this letter. We'll learn that next week. He's going to send him with this letter. But he wants to send Timothy later. He wants to send Timothy after they receive this letter, so that he can see if they are following the admonitions in this letter. Right? Because they were having the issues in the church. They were having these preference issues, and he wants to send this so that they would take that mindset of Christ, so that they would take that mindset of humility, so that they would, what it said in chapter 1, to consider the others more important than themselves. Consider those around them in the church setting more important than themselves. And he wants to send this letter to them with Epaphroditus, and then send Timothy to say, "Oh, look, you're doing it. Oh, this is so cool. Look, how's it working out? How is this working out, the letter that Paul wrote to you, if you implemented it, how's it doing?" And then Timothy could come back and tell Paul, "Look, this is great. God is working in their midst. They've taken this mindset of Christ. They've taken the humility. And they've encouraged one another in this." And this would encourage Paul tremendously. So he's sending this so that they can resolve that issue. And he expects that Timothy will arrive and find them submitting to the word, and for Timothy to get back in time. So why? Why would Paul do this? I mean, why is he hoping to send them so that this can happen? It's because he knew them. Because he knew their heart. Because he understood that they love Christ, that their heart was for the truth. And his confidence, remember, his confidence isn't in the fact that they would do the right thing. His confidence in the fact that God would finish the work that he started in them. So again, he was going back to God, the character of God, saying, look, my confidence is in God. He's going to work through you because I know your heart. I know your heart is for the truth. All right? So that's Paul's heart. That's his intention. But now I want to look at the mindset or the Timothy's qualifications. You could say Timothy's qualifications for this. Look what it says in verse 20. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. I have no one else of kindred spirit. The word kindred spirit is a compound word, and it means two things. It's soul and equal. So he says, I have no one else of equal soul. So he wasn't saying, well, yeah, he just kind of, you know, thinks like me a little bit. Or he's got my personality. He really didn't have his personality. All right, but he says, look, he's like-souled. He's equal in soul here. His desire is to serve God. He's a servant for God, but he wants to serve you in the whole process of this. It's the soul motives and heart. Timothy was Paul's prodigy. He was Paul was his mentor for at least 10 years before this. So Timothy had been with Paul for at least 10 years. Paul had poured his life into him. He had poured the truth into him. And Timothy had grown quite a bit. But Paul had trained him and he knew him. And he wanted the same things that Paul wanted. All right, so what these qualifications, there are certain things that Timothy had that made him qualified to go to these folks and to encourage them and to bring back news of them. And these I say qualifications, I don't mean, well, he was tall enough or he was fast on his feet or anything like that. What I'm talking about is his mindset. Because remember, what is the command here, chapter 2? Have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus. In other words, set your mind on what Christ set his mind upon. Humility. What did Christ say? I mean, he's God, his deity. We looked at his deity. He became a man, his humanity, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. I mean, becoming obedient is one thing, but to the point of death and the cross, the worst death you could imagine, that mindset is what he is illustrating here. And so what we're looking at with the qualifications of Timothy is the mindset of Timothy. And look what it says in verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned. Who will genuinely be concerned. There's the first aspect, genuine concern. And the word literally means to having a strong feeling or even to be burdened. He's burdened for these people. He wants something so bad with them. He wants to see their growth so much, just like Paul did. Timothy wanted God's best for them. He wanted it so much, though, that it was like a burden to him. There was such a strong feeling in him. So he was genuinely concerned. The second thing, you look at it there in verse 20, for their welfare, he was genuinely concerned for their welfare. Verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. So his mindset was on Christ's desires, what he desires. Now, I want you to know that this verse was extremely hard for me to try and, because I had to do it, I did a lot of digging on there. Because the other church leaders in Rome didn't have this same quality, didn't have this same mindset that Timothy did. It wasn't that they were immoral. It wasn't that they were doctrinally off. It wasn't that they were all carnal or whatever you want to call it. It was that they just didn't have the same push that Timothy did. They weren't single-minded on what Christ desires. They still sought what they thought. They still lived in their own atmosphere. So this was, it was hard. Paul wasn't putting them down. He wasn't denouncing these folks. He was lifting Timothy up in the eyes of the Philippian church, because he wanted them to recognize that Timothy was out after their own what was best for them, but what what was best for them in the aspect of what Christ wanted for them. So that's what he was doing here. Remember, you had folks that were preaching in chapter 1, you had folks that were preaching Christ, but out of the wrong motivation, doing it out of envy and strife. And he said, but hey, I'm still rejoicing. But see, those are the folks that were around him. There were also people there helping. Most likely, Timothy was one of the only people there specifically helping Paul. But another one was probably, according to what we understand in other scriptures, in Acts especially, another one was probably Demas. And Demas, what we learn, was a faithful helper of Paul until we get to 2 Timothy. And then we find out that Demas loved the things of the world and left Paul, left that whole group. So we see that there's a heart issue going on there. There's struggles going on there. So I think that's kind of what he's talking about is the fact that Paul's focus was on what Christ desired. That Christ desired something great in the Philippian church. That was his focus. So there's the mindset, the single-mindedness. The others could not be sent to Philippi because their maturity level in Christ was different. If you go to verse 22, we'll see another aspect, another qualification, or you might say another mindset. But you know of his proven worth. You know, the word know is that word gnosko in the original, which is the growing experiential knowledge. He says, look, you've experienced his proven worth. You know it by experience, not just by head knowledge, not the oidos word, but for gnosko, you've experienced this. We understand Paul was there at least three times. So they got to see Paul. They got to see his life. They saw his servant's heart. And in fact, that word proven worth there, it has to do with... what is it? It's the word dokamai. And it has to do with proof after testing. So in other words, he was tested while he was in their midst. He was tested at some point, and he proved himself to be a follower of Christ. He lived that out, and they saw it. So he said, look, you know his moral character. You know his heart. You know that he's been tested, his character has been tested, his inner self tested, and he's endured through that trial. So there's another aspect of that mindset, is the proven worth, or the living that out, proof after testing. You get to another one here, verse 22. It says, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. That he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. So loyalty. His loyalty was something. He served with Paul. Alongside Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. Now we're not talking about that he served Paul. Okay? That's not what it says. And he did serve Paul. I mean, he worked to help his needs. Got him food. Got him whatever he needed. His parchments or whatever. He was sent on errands by Paul. But his service was, the actual word is soon, it means together with or along with. So his service was right along with Paul. He served right along with Paul. And where it says, in the furtherance of the gospel, the word furtherance is the word into or toward the gospel. So his whole life was toward the gospel. It, right alongside of Paul being toward the gospel, his life was toward the gospel. So that's part of that mindset. You see how he's describing the mindset of humility? The mindset of Christ? He's saying, look, this is the mindset of Christ that I've told you to have. It's a command. Have this mind that was in Christ. Just set your mind on that. And he goes on and gives another illustration. He says, like a child to a father, right? Verse 22. Like a child serving his father. And the word serving isn't in the original. Like a child his father, like a child to his father. That's how he served, and it was such a close type relationship. He was listening to his mentor. He was willing to sacrifice his own desires, understanding that what Paul was teaching him was of the truth. And so he had this amazing servant's heart, but it was having the mindset of Christ. It was humbling himself, okay? So now, take all that. Let's look at Paul's reality. Look at his reality. Look at verse 23. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly. So his desire was to send him soon. He wanted to get him there to, he said, so take all this to heart. When he comes, I want you to have these issues resolved. I want you to be growing in Christ. Reconcile and grow with this mindset so Timothy can encourage me. He says, as soon as I see how things go with me, and what he's talking about, we're not positive. We don't know. I mean, I've looked in several sources. And from what I can understand, that Paul was somehow involved with either with the trial. And the trial could be happening soon, Paul's trial. He was part of this process, or he was the only one attending to Paul at this point. Because he sent Epaphroditus, he was going to send Epaphroditus back with this letter. But he was the one that knew Paul's heart and knew it was for their growth. And he says, so he's part of that process, and he says in verse 24, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. I trust. The word trust, I know we have three words. Pisteo is in the original, means trust, believe, and faith. This is not that word. Okay, that's the word we use for salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pisteo. This word is different. It's poitho, and it means, literally means to persuade or convinced of. And it's in the perfect tense. Paul says, look, I am totally, completely persuaded or convinced of this. He says, I'm convinced in the Lord. In the Lord. Again, we go back to chapter 121. For me to live, Christ. Christ. So his convincing was because of what he knew about God in the Lord. And again, he's completely sold out to Christ because he's already said, look, my life's being poured out as a drink offering. And then what's the rest of Torah verse 21? May to live Christ what? To die is gain. He says, I'm convinced that I'm probably going to go on with you, but hey, to die is gain. And Paul didn't know for sure whether he was going to live, but he knew that he trusted in God. And he knew it would be greater even if he didn't. But he was telling them, look, I want to see you, and I think I'm going to see you again. Paul's life revolved around what Christ desired for him. Remember on the road to Jerusalem? Remember when he was going back to Jerusalem, and every stop he made in Ephesus, every stop he made, the prophet would come out and say, hey, you're going to die. You're going to not die, but you're going to be in prison. You're going to be enchained if you go to Jerusalem. And one prophet came out and took Paul's belt, rope, whatever, and tied himself up and said, this is going to happen to this person if he goes to Jerusalem. And Paul says, look, you guys are breaking my heart. I don't care what happens to me. Christ is in charge. I trust Christ no matter what. And he did end up in problems. But because of that, he got to go before Pharaoh. Because of that, he had time to write all these books. These are called prison epistles. This is a prison epistle. He wrote it from prison because of that. Because he trusted in his father. He says, I'll be coming to you shortly. That's what my desire is. So it was Paul's strong desire to help. So what I want to take a few minutes here now. So we know the story. We know what's happened. We know Paul's heart. We know Timothy's character. We know his mindset. So what do we get from all this? What do we get from all this? Because it's a good storyline or whatever, but what do we get? What do we pick up? Well, number one, Paul's dependence is on Christ. We understand that. Because in both cases, he says, look, I hope to send Timothy in the Lord, or I think I'm going to be coming, I trust I'm going to be in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. that I'll probably be coming. All right? So his dependence was in Christ. So whether anything happened to him in his life was because of Christ. We see that. But I also want to take Timothy's example. I want us to take Timothy's example and look at Timothy's heart of service, his solid character, having the mindset of Christ. Because he had that mindset of Christ. This is an illustration of it. But what have we had? I mean, we looked at this a little bit last week. What have we had? We had Paul saying, look, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. The mind of humility. Taking yourself, setting yourself aside to be selfless rather than selfish. To look to others good. Now, we looked at Christ, the example of Christ. And you sit back and say, well, you know, Christ, he's the sinless Son of God. I mean, sure, he can have that. You know, I don't know. Man, this is hard. This is really hard. I mean, this is one of those commands where, you know, it's just not real practical. That's it. I mean, you know, Christ can do it. Yeah, but what about it? But then we have the example last week of Paul. You say, well, you know, but Paul, he was really used of God, and he made this big, huge turnaround. And besides, God used him to write at least 13 books in the New Testament. So he's special. So we can't really set him, and you know, I don't think God would ever use me like that. But now we have Timothy. Now we have Timothy. And Timothy has this mindset also. And he's a servant. So we can take his life and look at it. You know, we have these other examples. They're really hard. But Timothy, he's a lot like any of us were. He had this mindset and he lived it. And because of that, he became a servant. A true servant of God and of others. He's known for his proven character. He said that in there. He's known for that proven character. He's been tested under pressure. But he had his problems. This week I read through 1 and 2 Timothy. It's an interesting read. Just read through those two books. Because these are the books that Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young pastor. But he wrote to Timothy in such a way, not just for others' sake, but for Timothy's sake. And he wrote to him, and one of the things we learn, if you read through that, one of the things you learn is that Timothy was a very insecure person. He was very insecure. And Paul says, look, don't let anyone despise your youth. But do grow up in this. Grow up in this. Preach the word. He says that. Preach the word. Be instant in season out. He says, do these things. Right? So he's given them encouragement and commands to not be so down on himself, not be so insecure about who he is. He had physical problems. He says, look, you need to take a little wine for your stomach's sake, your many ailments. He had physical problems going on, but he also had wrong desires, wrong lusts. Because Paul tells him is flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful. And it wasn't just so he could preach that to others. It was so he could preach it, but it was also in his own life. Flee those youthful lusts. Flee those youthful lusts. So we know he had, remember, he had lived with Paul over 10 years. At that point, it would have been over 10 years. So he had his struggles, and Paul knew his struggles. He was not that type A, caloric, strong personality that Paul probably was. He was a servant. He was a servant's heart, and he was quieter. We understand that. But his qualities were great because his mindset was great. He had a heart to accomplish what God gave him to do. He was known for serving his Lord. He was a great example of this mindset. And we can relate better to him than I think we can relate to Christ or to Paul. We can relate better to him because there's a lot of us that are insecure. A lot of us have other issues and physical issues and emotional issues. I think Timothy dealt with this a lot because of what we read in Acts and also in Timothy. But what we can relate to him is that now we can see that this mindset is doable. I mean, with Christ, yeah, but he's the sinless Son of God. And Paul, well, God used him so big and did such mighty. But with Timothy, hey, you know what? This is doable. That we can have that mindset of Christ and we can be called a servant of God. It's a God-centered mindset instead of a self-centered mindset. And that's what Timothy had. So take that example of Timothy. Now, the problem here, the issue is you cannot have that mindset without a starting point, and that starting point has to be salvation. We have to know that we are a child of God, that we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to God. He's adopted us into his family. And the only way that happens is when we trust Jesus to be our Savior, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you haven't ever done that, please consider that. Consider your life of service, your ministry. It's all wrapped around on the fact that you are a Christian if you've ever trusted Christ. I would encourage you today, please talk to me, talk to anyone you know who is a Christian. They'll tell you the same thing. But those of you who have been saved, those of you who know Jesus Christ, take this mindset. It's involved in our sanctification. It's our growth. This is God's desire for us. And he can accomplish it in our life the same way as he accomplished it in Timothy's life. Let God grow you just like he grew Timothy. Be that servant. Accomplish what God puts into your heart to accomplish. Show yourself to have that proven here. Live it. That's all I'm saying here. Live it, because that's what Timothy did. He lived who he was in Christ. He just lived it out. He yielded to God. He grew in righteousness and truth. He yielded to him. He followed his will. Folks, we can yield to him. We can become even more dependent upon Christ. And we can follow his will found in his word, in his way, as the Holy Spirit leads you. Follow him. And like that chorus said, pray that every day. Lord, make me a servant. Make me a servant to have that mindset of others rather than just myself. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the example that you've given with Timothy, because that's an example we can relate a lot more to than with Christ or Paul. And yes, the admonitions are there, and we get to see the life and everything. But with Timothy, we understand that a little more because he had problems. He had issues going on in his life that were just standard to all of us. But Father, what Paul said about him is amazing. These qualifications are simply having a mindset on Christ rather than on himself. Thank you for that example, for giving us that example through this passage, so that we can be encouraged to live out who we are in Christ, to live out the truth, and to serve others rather than to demand to be a servant. Father, thank you that we can stand on your truth, but on our preferences we can give. Because, Lord, we desire that others grow too. And we desire that we grow in the truth and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did in his mindset was humility. And Paul's was, and now we see Timothy's was. Help us to take that example, to live it out in Christ. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.